The struggle for control of Vietnam ended 25 years ago this month when the Army of North Vietnam took over the country. America's long involvement in Southeast Asia has since receded to memories, history books, novels, and movies. Recently, we were offered a new perspective on the war. In our series, Lost and Found Sound, we asked you to tell us about recordings from friends and family. A listener alerted us to a collection of tapes, tapes made in Vietnam in 1966 by an American serviceman. Until now, they've never been heard publicly. Today, we present the battlefield memoir of a 20-year-old U.S. Marine on Lost and Found Sound. Lance Corporal Michael A. Baranowski carried a portable tape recorder with him in the demilitarized zone just south of the border of North Vietnam and recorded letters home on 3-inch open reels of magnetic tape. He was making tapes for himself and for his family back in Norristown, Pennsylvania. Within a few months of arriving in Vietnam, Baranowski was killed in action. Tim Duffy, Baranowski's platoon mate and best friend, spent years searching for Mike's family. 3 years ago, he found Mike's sister, Cookie, and discovered that she had saved Mike's tapes. Here, then, are the Vietnam tapes of Lance Corporal Michael A. Baranowski, as remembered by his friend, Tim Duffy, and produced by Christina Egloff with Jay Allison.
Every death is a tragedy, and I don't buy into any given death was more tragic than the others, okay? But in this, of all the 58,000 tragedies, this is one that's very close to me.
I don't know where to begin. There's so much to tell you about. We've been real lucky with the rain so far. It's rained only about 4 of the days we've been here. And the rest of the time, we've been busy every hour, every minute, with setting in and digging in, preparing fields of fire, clearing fields of fire, patrolling, ambushing, standing 50% security at night, stringing up barbed wire, trip flares, and other goodies. The terrain is majestic. It's like something out of Heidi. The view is magnificent. And just as sinister as it is magnificent. Sinister because this is the perfect terrain, the perfect country for mortar attacks. And the VC have made use of it.
My name is Tim Duffy. At the time I was in Vietnam, I was Corporal Tim Duffy, United States Marine Corps, 2199108. Mike at the time was a Lance Corporal when we were together in October and November of 1966.
Here's another man you'll get to know through the tapes here if I'm able to hang on to the recorder. Mr. Tim Duffy.
I got to know Mike back in Okinawa. He introduced himself one night.
We met in Okinawa in September of 1966. Then we took the USS Iwo Jima down to Vietnam. Then we moved up to what was called Payable Hill, which was located between the rock pile and the Razorback, approximately 4,000 to 5,000 yards south of the demilitarized zone in Quang Tri Province. And early on, I was sitting in on my rack, writing a letter to my parents, and I looked up and I saw a guy playing with a tape recorder. He saw me looking at him, and I'll be doggone, he stood up, walked down, and says, "Hi, my name's Mike Baranowski."
I have the recorder here, and I'm going to try to keep it elevated off the ground and away from everything here. I'm going to try to keep it up in the air because everything I touch here eats through my skin or bites me or rots something. This is something else. The grass will cut you. The mud will rot your skin. This is something else.
We're in my bunker, or actually not even the bunker because the Marine Corps calls them fighting holes, dug down into the side of the mountain, into the mud, and with a mud bench. And a grenade sump, in case a grenade lands, you kick it down under the hole in the floor. And what we would do was, during the day, you had some free time if you were not on patrol or on operation. you'd have like 4 hours on and 4 hours off hole watch during the day. So if Mike happened to have his free time while I'm on hole watch, he would come down with his tape recorder and we would tape while I'm on hole watch.
This is the 35-watt voice of station MOXE, broadcasting to you from the swamps, jungles, boondocks, and infected salad of Fort McCourt, home of the fighting 1st Platoon of Hungry Eye Company, 3rd Battalion, 3rd Marines, defensive perimeter, just north of the rock pile and just south of the demilitarized zone of Vietnam. This is Watered Concrete in New York with the late world news. Washington. From the nation's capital.
I remember taping that comedy session, and we did it in my fighting hole, and I can see him sitting there doing that tape.
This portion of our programming is brought to you by 20 Round Burst, the candy bar voted best tax waste of the war.
Mike had made me go out and buy a harmonica, and he gave me one lesson, how to hold my tongue and play one note at a time. But he knew he wanted background music for all this crazy crap, so he, you know, made me learn how to, quote, play the harmonica. And that's me in the background with the Marine Corps hymn.
Don't be one of those unfortunates who suffer tragically from that malady sometimes referred to as Viet Cong yellow-striped fever. Stoop, stoop, stupefy your friends and maim your enemies. Exercise your God-given right to kill or maim at a distance. It's a great feeling to know that you can wipe out your entire neighborhood. Yes, be the first kid on your block to rule the world. See your Marine Corps recruiter today.
I really think Mike and I were just such kindred spirits, you know. Ironically, I don't ever remember us sitting around talking about the potential that one of us would die. You know, we just were not sitting there waiting to die.
I just don't know what to say. I'm a total loss for words here. I'm looking out of our window now, a hole in the sandbag wall in the back of the hooch. Looking out toward the east, out toward home. Long way from home. Actually, I guess home is closer straight down. It'll be great to hear your voices again. I can't wait to get a tape. Make sure that when you send a tape, it's on a 2-inch.
Just sitting here listening to your tapes while we had breakfast. Terry, Mom, Cookie, and myself came up to Scranton. Sandy worked all day yesterday.
Hi, Mike. Trying to straighten up, get ready for Thanksgiving. And I'm starting to get Daddy's lunch or dinner ready. He eats his dinner about 12 o'clock. So when I prepare his, I prepare for the whole family.
Yesterday, Mom took me to see Mary Poppins. And that was a really good movie. I enjoyed it very much. So take care of yourself and don't do anything I wouldn't do, as everybody in school says. Bye, Terry.
Hi, Mike. It's Cookie. So I came in to say a few words of hello to brighten your day. So I'll see you, Mike.
And I appreciate you sending the money home, Mike, but I can't. I just doesn't seem right for me to spend your money, so I opened an account. And I'm putting the money that you sent home to me into the bank for you when you get home. I wish that you could be home for Christmas. That'd be the greatest thing in the world. Everybody's anxious to get home, get back to their families and their girls. But while we're over here, we're not wasting away thinking about it. We're glad and proud in a way that's different than the pride you usually think of. I don't know, it's difficult to explain. Maybe I can do a better job on another tape sometime. This is where I belong, I think. More so than any place else.
These tapes, I assumed these tapes were long gone. I never even considered the possibility they'd still be around. Then I met Cookie in 97, and I couldn't believe that she had those tapes. I personally think that what he did with the tape recorder was practice. I think it would have been his portfolio when he came home. You know, he was going in radio when he came home, And he was just going to take that around and play it and say, see, this is what I can do.
The rest of the tape here on this side are sounds as they recorded them when they called 100% alert, which is pretty rare. Now the word's been passed to fix bayonets. Sarge just came running by and said, let me go get my bayonets so I can get it on this. This started to be a fun tape. I don't know. It's getting too much like a 12-cent combat comic book now.
It's always fun when you kill people.
Yeah.
The attack was officially, I guess, referred to as a probe. So what the NVA were doing is they were looking for a weakness. And that whole battle was taking place 30 yards from Mike and I.
Hey, Carter. How many of you over there? Three of you? Three of you in that hole? Okay. Now, there's all kinds of garbage going on. We don't know whether it's outgoing or incoming. No word's passed down like that. The illumination is being kept up. And every once in a while, a 60-millimeter mortar mission is called out to our left front whole mountain out there. In front of us looks like a 9-acre Christmas tree. Fire. High explosive. Now you can hear the illumination being kept up there. Those were heat rounds, high explosive. It's dark now. For the illumination to go off. That's a hairy thing. Hairy feeling. Sitting there in the dark with all that stuff going on. Sounds of the enchanted forest.
Look out, Jesus. That's too close.
Airstrike. Wipe napalm all over that place. Look at that.
You're in the Pepsi generation.
I don't see any indication of fear in his voice. We didn't know but what we were going to have to grab our rifles and M14 or and grenades and have at it. Because if they'd have broken through that point, then we were going to be in an all-out hand-to-hand combat. And that very potential, there was no way I could have stood there and did what he did.
Now it's dark, quiet. Everything's been quiet for about 15 minutes now. I was just crouching down in the hole there. Talking to a hand grenade. I thought it was the microphone. I realized what I was doing. And the rain's just on time. Now it'll rain the rest of the night.
My memories of how Mike died are... He was walking point, and I was in a squad. I was carrying a radio, and I was probably five or six people back. And we were moving alongside of a Vietnamese village, and the village was deserted. And I heard one shot, which we knew was not an M14. We knew it wasn't one of ours. And then two more shots, and basically that was the end of it, and somebody shouted Mike was down. And I ran up through the fence row, and I saw Mike laying off to the side on the ground. I moved up beside him, and in my memory, he was looking at me, and so I had to run off, and we dealt with the firefight. And then they had to set up perimeter security to bring in the medevac helicopters. And so, thinking that Mike has been wounded, I'm sitting under the tree, And I'm kind of smiling to myself. Good, he's going home now. And I thought he had gotten the million-dollar wound. And I began to kind of, in my imagination, I could see myself driving across Interstate 70, driving into Norristown. I pictured a house like I think he would live in. And I pictured myself walking up the sidewalk, and Mike sees me, and he comes running out the door in a big hug, and welcome home, and let's go to New York City. That was our dream. Then the helicopters land. I look up, and I see four people, one on each ankle and wrist. Literally, they've lifted him up like a sack of potatoes. They're running across the field. His head was hanging back, bouncing across the dirt. And I started to stand up and say, that's no way to treat a wounded man. And boom. And I knew he wasn't wounded. I knew he was dead. If you were to take me back to the beginning of it and say, okay, now here's how it's going to end. Are you sure you want to do this? I think I'd still have to say, yeah, I want to do it again. And it's not the war, it's not the cause, it's not Vietnam, it's just the kind of love that you get in such a short, intense period of time. I think I can go to his grave now. I've never done it. Take a copy of the tape and just kind of dig a little hole there, and maybe we'll put a copy of the broadcast there for him. I don't know. But I think I'm going to have to go tell him that it worked, that he's been on the radio. You know, he made it.
Well, that's my hooch, but what I usually do is stumble around. And if I can find my way through the darkness, I come down here and sleep with my friends, the Arvins. What I think I'll do right now is I'll go down and talk to one of the men that's standing hall watch here on the hill. Who's here?
Oh, how are you doing, man?
You tired?
No.
Not tired, huh?
No.
I thought it would be one of the Marines down in this hole. It's usually manned by a Marine. That's why you didn't hear the familiar halt who goes there. This is one of my Arvin friends down here. His name is Nine. He's sitting here with his eyes half closed. The poor guy's been on watch. I don't know. How are you doing, Nine? Yeah, fine. You look like you're about to fall over. He's just sitting here on the sandbags, right up on top. He doesn't care who's out there. Too tired to care about anything. Got the muga? Muga? No. Got the muga means maybe rain. And he doesn't think so. I don't think so either. There are a billion stars visible tonight. Beautiful. Almost every night that's clear, and now more and more nights aren't clear because the monsoon is fast coming. But those nights that are clear, almost every star that's visible with a human eye, I guess, is visible. It's a beautiful sight. Milky Way and all the constellations, of course, they're a little bit different now that we're on the other side of the planet and looking at them from some weird cockeyed angle, I don't know. Hey, I've got some news for you. I made meritorious Lance Corporal today. How about that? Proud of me? Anyway, the lieutenant handed me the paper and he said, congratulations, Lance Corporal Baranowski. And I didn't know what to say, so I didn't say anything. Wow. You see that shooting star now? See that? It was a big shooting star just now. And, that was mortars. It just fired maybe 40 feet in back of me. This is so much easier than writing. You get all the right voice inflections, and I can do it in the dark, of course, which is nice, except that this damn red blinker here is liable to get me zapped, so I've got my hand over it. But I'm not quite as awake as I should be when I try to tape, but just wanted to get this one off to you while I can, so that you'll have it and know that I'm thinking about you. I think about all of you and miss you so much every day. You just don't have any idea, Mom and Dad, Cookie, Sandy and Terry, how good it was to hear your voices again. It was really wonderful. That's all I can say. What else can I say? It was really great to hear you all again.
The Vietnam tapes of Lance Corporal Michael A. Baranowski was produced by Christina Egloff with Jay Allison as part of our ongoing series Lost and Found Sound, production help from Art Silverman, Darcy Bacon, and Bill Deputy, and from listener Barbara McQuiston and member stations WNAN Woods Hole, Massachusetts, and WYSO Yellow Springs, Ohio. A note, Tim Duffy has created a memorial website to Mike Baranowski, and if you'd like to learn more about his life, you can find a link at www.npr.org.